the prayer before reading of the Holy Scriptures. Bless us, O Lord. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies. From you, our Lord and our God, forever and ever. Amen. Good evening to everyone, and I just wanted to ask those of you who have your Bibles with you, if you would please open up to St. Paul's letter to the Church of Ephesus, specifically Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 32. Again, that's St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 26 through 32, and it reads as follows. Beginning at verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Glory be to you, Lord. Baltimore. I know this is a rather unusual passage, I guess, in many ways for this evening, but as you can probably imagine from the passage that we have just read, the topic or the theme for this evening's devotional is something that I'm sure that we all have had to have dealt with at some point at another or from time to time. And it's a common word that we all hear, and it's the simple five-letter word, anger. And when you think about this word, everybody has to deal with it from time to time. But I guess the question that I often hear is, what is the best way to handle it? And I think the only way that we can really answer that question is really first understanding what anger really is. When we think about the word anger, the first thing that we have to remind ourselves is it is an emotion, and it is usually characterized by feelings when we have great displeasure or hostility or wrath or some type of vengeance. And many times, anger is usually how we express our dissatisfaction with life. In fact, in the Greek language, it is defined as one of the strongest of all the passions, because anger begins with a feeling that often is later expressed in words or actions. So we feel something, and it causes us to say or do something, and there's a great danger in that. And so when we get to the root of the problem, one of the primary roots of anger probably stems from our family life. And I don't want to make this general statement that angry people come from angry families. That's not always the case. But there is a certain truth that anger is usually something that we learn in our interactions with people. If you notice, there are probably some people in your life. A lot of times when I think about some grandparents, specifically our Ambachis, a lot of times, they seem to be the ones who are always compassionate, not all in all circumstances, but I've met a lot of Amichis, or even mothers, or even men, whoever it may be, that just seem to have always a calm pose. They just seem to never get angry. They just seem to always be at peace. You can literally spit on them or do something to them, and they will just be at peace. And sometimes when we look at these type of people, you know, I look at them as role models. And there's something that positive that they kind of impart into us when we look at them. But when we look at the roots of anger, what is it that really causes people to get angry? And I kind of identified a few things. The first thing is injustice. When people mistreat us and we feel like there is nothing we can do about it, we get angry because we feel it isn't fair. And as much as we would like to change the situation or the person who's treating us badly, we simply can't. Because the truth is, people can't change people. Only God can change people. So one of the things I would say as a counteraction to that is rather than feeling like, you know, I need to get this person back or this is not fair to me, I mean, the best thing to do is literally put our energy into praying for those who might have offended us. So injustice, feeling as if something isn't fair, is one reason that gets us angry. Another reason that gets us angry is strife. And strife is usually kind of hidden because it begins with usually some type of judgment or gossip or thinking too highly of oneself. And then it comes back in arguing, bickering, heated disagreements, and angry undercurrents and all those kind of things. So strife is kind of like that area that it's just kind of silent. It's kind of hidden. It begins a little bit with judgment, gossip, some talking behind the back, and then it begins on a greater level with arguing and all of those things. So that's the second type of anger that I just wanted to identify. The third, I noticed a lot of people get angry when this happens, and I'm sure you and I both have done this, but it's impatience. When we can't get what we want when we want it, we become impatient. So when things kind of slow us down, we get impatient. And as soon as that impatience happens, especially in such a fast-paced world, it usually triggers our anger. So that's another form of anger that results from impatience. The fourth, which is more natural for people to get angry, but usually some type of abuse, whether that be emotional or verbal or physical, whatever it may be, it's going to naturally lead us to some type of anger because it's something that we have to deal with. It feels like we're helpless and we get angry not only at the people but also at the circumstance. Another time that I feel like many people get angry is when their needs are unmet. We all have needs that can and should be met by those closest to us. And I can give you a perfect example of even people who just may be very, very, very hungry at a moment. And if you don't give them food at that moment, they can easily get angry. So something is just a basic need. Some type of unmet need can lead us to anger. And, of course, after I've mentioned all of these five, the sixth one that kind of comes to mind, which I feel like is something that we see all throughout the scriptures, one of the greatest roots of anger is jealousy. And we see that in Cain and Abel. You know, we see that all throughout the scriptures. It's just the simple thought that many people are afraid that someone else may get ahead of them. Look at this in our job situations. You know, a lot of us may start at the lower levels and we're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get to that supervisory or administrative position? And the same thing in the church happens. A lot of times people don't want to be on the basic level. They want to be at the top. Or even in our family life, someone always feels like they always have to be on top in terms of the family. So these are all just things that are the underlying kind of like roots of the anger that we often feel and that we often come across. Now I kind of want to switch gears and talk about different masks of anger. Masks in the sense that sometimes we use masks to cover up something that we don't want anybody to see. So, for example, there may be those people that are harboring anger. We think masking it will keep others from knowing the real us. So we hide behind a variety of masks in attempt to trick people into thinking we're something or someone that we're really not. Another thing that I see is that people respect you more if you share your real self with them rather than trying to hide everything and act like you've got it all together. I'll tell you that as a fact is that a lot of times people try to mask their anger and they hold it in. They hold it in as a grudge, and it kind of leads to what I call the cold shoulder mask. And what happens is that when someone makes them angry, they may say they have forgiven them, but then they become cold and don't even show any warmth or emotion in dealing with that individual. It's almost as if they just cut them off, even though they say they've forgiven them. And then there's those other people that like to use the silent treatment mask. These are the folks who say they're not angry with you, yet they refuse to talk to you, or they communicate only when it is absolutely necessary, with some type of nod or some type of grunt. The reason why I'm putting this all into perspective is because I really feel like we need to be able to face the truth and choose your pain. If you want, or if you and I both want the great and mighty things God has for us, we have to get to the root of anger and deal with it, which means that we have to get rid of the mask and the face, the things that happen in our life to make the way that we are today. You have to be able to admit that you can't change by yourself. And until we deal with the root of the problem, it's just like producing a bad fruit after another. Too often what I feel is we spend our lives dealing with the bad fruit in our behavior, but we never really dig deep enough into the root of the problems. And so what I kind of wanted to remind everybody is we can either suffer positively doing what is right, or we can kind of go with what the devil has planned. The devil will tempt us to follow our human feelings and later condemn you later even for doing it. So you kind of have to make a decision. Do you want the pain that will take you into a new realm of glory, or are you going to keep your same old pain, trying to hide it while it's rotting on the inside of you? And the big question that I always hear is anger a sin? Is all anger a sin? I would say not. All anger is a sin, but some of it is. Even God himself has righteous anger. That means he gets angry against sin, injustice, rebellion and pettiness. And anger sometimes serves a useful purpose, so it isn't necessarily always a sin. And God sometimes allows us to feel angry so we can recognize when we are being mistreated. But even when we experience true injustice in our lives, we can't vent our anger in an improper way. We must guard against allowing anger to drag us into sin. And what we read here in this passage in Ephesians, St. Paul reminds us, when you're angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath rest until the sun goes down. Leave no room or foothold for the devil. Refuse to give the devil an opportunity to get a foothold in your life. So essentially, all anger, regardless of its cause, has the same effect on our lives. It can upset us. It can cause us to feel hurt. And all of us have been through rough times in our lives. And when we look through those times, they probably have caused us to feel miserable. And when you face your anger and decide to deal with it God's way, I really feel like we can overcome it. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be stable and to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And we have the power to forgive those who do injustice in our lives and to love those who may not love us. So what I kind of wanted to conclude this evening is really to take step towards freedom. All of us are born to be free, and it is a gift from God. We are not to be free from responsibility, but we are free to be led by the Holy Spirit. And any time our freedom is taken away or given away, we experience anger. So what I wanted to kind of challenge you to think about is to be able to flee from all the temptations that trigger your anger for the next week. Try to develop strategies to control your anger. A lot of times, I ask people, not only is it what is it that makes you angry, but do we even try to make an attempt to even try to control our anger, or do we just let it become habitual? So ultimately, I kind of want to leave everybody with the thought that you can either be better or you can either be bitter, and it's up to you. If you're mad about something, instead of letting it ruin your life, turn it into something good. Overcome evil and anger by praying for those who hurt and abuse you. Forgive them and simply be a blessing to them. It may not be easy at first, but when you make the decision and stick with it, I can assure you that God will take care of the rest. May these words be enlivened in us, and may the Holy Spirit guide us to think more about this and really challenge. Maybe it's not anger for you. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's lust. Whatever it may be, getting to the roots of our problem, understanding the reasons, the roots, and the mask of anger, to know the types of anger that we have, and to be able to control and handle it, is ultimately the goal that I'm trying to get us all to achieve. May the Holy Spirit guide us and lead us unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us, unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever.